So, man, what's some of the what's some of the life lessons you've learned from basketball?
Man,
share a few of them.
That's huge, man. I mean, when you talk about basketball and having the love for the love and the passion for the game, you put in more than most people. Mm-hmm. So when you put in more, what's the next step? You get out more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put in more, you get out more. Mm-hmm. And I say that because you start to learn. Like I said, we had a high profile high school team. So my coach taught us back then, being on time, teamwork, I mean, dedication, mm-hmm. sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I mean, you sacrificing a lot. You know, you asking a 16, 17, 18 year old, you know what I mean, to give up all their fun, give up a little bit of family time, give up some friend time, mm-hmm. give up some girlfriend time. And you learn that all that stuff was important. Those are some of the things you had to sacrifice to be great, to be greater as an individual and as a team. Mm-hmm. So,
wow.
Yeah, man, being on time, you like I say, you don't be on time, you late for practice, you might lose your starting spot.
Wow.
So now you start to really compare basketball to a job.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't on time, okay. You losing your spot in basketball, but guess what? You might lose your spot at work. You know, you continue to be late, you might get kicked off the team.
Wow.
Oh, let's take it to work. You keep being late, you gonna get fired. So I mean, being on time was a necessity, man.
Yeah.
A necessity. And then you learn to work with teammates. To work with teammates, and we talked about sacrifice. I thought I could average 25, 30 points, but we're going to cut that in half because I got other guys that can average 25, 30 points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now instead of averaging 25 and one assist, I'm going to average 15, 16 and 4 or 5 assists.
Yeah.
And that itself, though, it became great for me. It made playing the game a lot more fun because everybody's around you's enjoying it.
Yeah.
So that was huge for me, man. And,
so when you talk about that a little bit, it makes a difference who your coach is and the coaching staff, the culture of the team.
Yep.
Like all that make a difference. And you know, like shout out to Keith Guy too, because
he's still doing it.
Like I know he got a system. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And
oh yeah.
And because he coached y'all, what years, because I think y'all had your first year on varsity, you had a different coach.
Yep.
But then Keith, did he come here in that second year?
Yep. And a lot of people. So Bird Chapman was there my sophomore year. And then Keith Guy was his assistant that year. And then Bird got a Division I coaching job.
Yeah.
And then Keith Guy took over at Muskegon Heights. And a lot of people, I say a lot of people, if we had the Keith Guy now, we had 2 championships.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
He's got the experience.
He developed as a coach.
Yeah, yeah.
He got the experience.
And y'all had the talent too. I mean, not saying they haven't got the talent now, but
we had the talent.
Man,
we had the chemistry.
Yeah.
I think our team had more of a chemistry than any other team I've been on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we was all brothers and we treated each other like brothers. So,
yeah.
But going back to Keith, man, great coach, man. And like I said, though, he was young.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like having a freshman on a college basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
You still got stuff to learn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can do certain things and do it well,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of the day, you still got a lot to learn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that was major in my senior year, having a young coach. But like I said, he kept at it, man. He's still doing it, and he's doing it at a high level now, man. So shout out to Keith, man, and everything he's doing for the kids and the community.
Yeah. And I talked to him recently, and like, yeah, he, you know, it's when you said, you know, this, you know, the things that y'all learn, you know, I know, like, he, you know, he want these kids to go to college too, you know what I mean? That's a great thing, you know. So for y'all to, for you to learn those things through basketball, like, you know, I feel like, and I say coaching makes a difference too, because, like, you know, it just, it don't seem like every team might have that. Mm-hmm. Those, you know, you can show up, like, you cannot come to school, like, and still be on the basketball team at some school. Yeah. Like, what? Come on now. What are you learning?
Yeah.
What are you learning about life?
Nothing.
So that's, you know what I mean? That's great that you was able to learn that, because that's not like a given just because you're on a team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's
you gotta have people in the higher ups with standards.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And start from the top.
Start from the top especially when you're young.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. You gotta learn from somewhere. Yeah. You gotta learn from somebody, and I was fortunate enough to have that. So
yeah, that's great. So man, let's talk a little bit, my man. Man, what's some of the like big names, man? Like, you know, some of the best players, I think, you know, you name Pete, mm-hmm. Robinson. What's some guys you played with that's that's either some of your favorite that you play with or against, some of the best matchups, competitions?
Yeah.
Y'all just had a good time, or like, let's talk about that a little bit, like some of those guys, girls.
I think I'm gonna have to start with being in Florida. I talked about it a little bit earlier. On my AAU trip, we were playing a game. Me and my team was playing a game on one court, and I guess a packed house. And this is a national tournament, so all the coaches in there, all the coaches for the big schools, right?
Yeah.
We playing a game on our court, and I see a team warming up on like two courts past us. Everybody that was watching our game got up. Everybody went to this one court.
Okay.
What's going on? Now, our game was about to end, so I get up, and who is it? Lou Williams.
Okay.
Lou Williams, NBA Sixth Man of the Year multiple times, man. Certified professional bucket getter.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here watching this cat in warm-ups, man, and you can tell he different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He different. He taking off from the free throw line, doing 360s, man, just looking good, you know what I mean? And so we sat there and watched him play for a while, man, and he probably had an easy 40.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, effortless. Another guy I played against that a lot of people might not know, his name Dominique James. He was a point guard at Marquette back in 06 or somewhere in there.
Yeah.
06, 07. Mm-hmm. I played against him, man. Cat was easily about 6'1". Could jump out the gym, could shoot it, had the handle like me. I mean, he was a lot bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
And you could just tell some of those guys physically was ready for college. Mm-hmm. He was one of them. Watched Rondo play, played against Wilson Chandler. Shout out to Wilson, man. He right here from Michigan.
Yeah.
Ben Harbor, Michigan. Yeah. He was real good, man. 6'7", 6'8", wing player.
Yeah.
Definitely made it to the league and actually had a pretty good career. I mean, he started for Denver Nuggets for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Who else we saying? Got a chance to see Lou Aldean.
Played for the Bulls.
Yep. Played against Torrey Jackson. We all know Torrey Jackson from Saginaw, man. He went big D1, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Dar Tucker. He from Saginaw, Arthur Hill. Yeah, man.
Did he go to DePaul?
He went to DePaul for a minute. Yep. Played at DePaul. I mean, you know. The one name I hate to say, I never thought he was as good as he is, David Cool.
David Cool, yeah.
David Cool, man. Dude, that's one thing that I look back on when I was in 05 when we played against them in the finals, was Keith never wanted to play zone. We never played zone, ever. Yeah. In my 3 years playing at Heights, we never went to a zone.
Yeah.
That was like a no-no. But I think growing up and coaching certain teams, you have to do certain things, you know what I'm saying, to adjust.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we should have went zone, but I think we should have double teamed him and only him.
Yeah.
We were known for a press called X, and I thought about it, and you know, was watching a little bit of the tape, and we running around everywhere trapping everybody when they didn't deserve to be trapped. We could have just doubled him.
Yeah.
So now we running around trapping everybody. We leave him open for a second, and it's money.
Yeah.
Or we scrambling and we foul him, and he go to the line.
Yeah.
If anybody know, he had 43 points. He was 20 for 20 for the line, from the line. Which, you know, a lot of that stuff, a lot of the fouls, we thought, I know we didn't, it was ticky-tack fouls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think the refs played a big role in it. But David Cool, man, he was a beast, man. And I, like I said, I didn't think he was as good as he was. But when he went to Western, he was the freshman of the year.
Yeah.
He was, I think his sophomore or junior year, he was the MAC player of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
And to this day, he holds, he's the leading point scorer at Western.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So when you think about those type of accolades, man, it's just you doing something right.
Yeah.
Doing something right. Now, it might not be the fancy way that us brothers do it.
Yeah.
But he get it done at a high clip.
And he get to the line or what?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Or coming on screens and natural footwork, getting into his shot quicker than we do. Or, you know what I'm saying? So playing the pick and roll, however he did it, man, he did it. So,
yeah,
man, he's probably one of the best players we played against.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, that's quite the list of players, man. I don't know if you played against Jay Rich.
Nope. I ain't get a chance to play against Jay Rich, but I hear a few stories about him because I think Muskegon used to play them.
Yeah.
And it was before my time.
Yeah.
So a couple guys like Tony Terrell, Monte Collins, man, they got a few stories about Jay Rich.
How
he did them dirty. So,
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, Jay Rich was from Saginaw as well, man.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
From my stomping grounds earlier in my career.
Yeah. So, man, that's what's up, man. What are some of the skills, values that a basketball player needs? Like, even like starting young, like, maybe we can say, what high school, what skills and values do they need if they want to keep going in basketball? What should they learn?
First and foremost, man, you got to have a love for the game, because it's at a certain point it gets hard. So like I stated earlier, you got to sacrifice some stuff. So when you start sacrificing, you got to have a sense of focus. You got to have a sense of focus. And willingness. You got to be willing to do what's necessary to be better than the next person. Because like I said earlier, there's millions of people that want your same spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think footwork plays a big part in development in high school.
Yeah,
that was one thing when I was training my son that we started out on. And it's funny because I look back at him and while he's playing now and say, that's why he does what he does.
Yeah,
it ain't because he's a little more talented than a lot of these kids. It's because his footwork.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I watch it. I was like, man, I'm glad we worked on that.
Yeah.
And I also look back on when I was in high school and I see my footwork wasn't that good.
Yeah.
It wasn't that good. So, and a lot of kids, you know, they just look strictly at the handles and the hops.
Yeah.
But when you have the footwork, man, it takes you to another level.
Yeah.
And you can see that in some of the guys, even on the NBA, on the NBA level.
Yeah.
The guys with the best footwork are usually the best players.
Mm.
I mean, and I can name 10 of them.
Yeah.
Like Jordan had impeccable footwork. Kobe, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah.
Hakeem Olajuwon, LeBron,
yeah.
Shaq,
yeah.
Embiid. Yeah, man, it's big, man. Curry, Kyrie, yeah. All those guys got impeccable footwork, and you can tell. I mean, because it takes them to that next level of greatness. But I mean, to go back on your question, man, I think it's big to have the love for the game. You gotta want to play, not your dad or your mom that'll be pushing you. You can't be getting pushed to play and want to play. It has to be in your heart, and it has to be what you want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's first and foremost.
Yeah.
And then you got to have the focus and the willingness, and then the footwork. I mean, those are three or four things right there, man, that'll separate any player.
Yeah.
Because if you want to play, you're going to put in the work.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, I want to ask this question, man. Have you ever devalued your gift?
Yeah, I think I have, man. It got to a point, man, where life was hard. I think I talked about this earlier when I was saying I had to take my son to and from practice and school.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, it got rough. You know what I mean? And you start to think you can't do it. You can't do it alone.
Yeah.
But I had people in my corner, man. Shout out to my Aunt Keisha and Lamont, man. Like, I used to wake them up at 6 in the morning before I went to school, and they dead sleep. And she ready to watch my son for me, man. So on those days where I couldn't find nobody else to do it,
yeah,
like, they was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So shout out to them, man, big time. They always been there for the family. But getting back to your question, I have divided it. I thought I was done playing at one point because of that situation, as far as not having a lot of support with the kid and me being ineligible for my second semester of college, which I was having an amazing season, yeah, ranked in the nation.
Yeah.
So I was having an amazing season. And then another time where I got hurt, I really never had any serious injuries. And I think that's from me just believing and having faith, man, believing in God. And I just thank him for that. But I had hurt my foot. I had hurt my foot for, it was about 6 months, man. And I was just like, man, I'm done playing. I couldn't get that explosion back.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctor. They told me there was no reason for me to have surgery because they called it a hairline fracture. Oh, so it's not a big enough injury to have surgery, but you'll have to, like, really sit on it for about 6 months and let it heal.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I was like, every time it felt better and good enough to play, I was out there.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was me sitting down for 3 weeks or a month, it wasn't 6 months.
Wow.
So it never really actually healed. And I just actually, man, to be honest, kept praying about it. And one day, 1 week, it just stopped hurting.
Wow.
Yup. It just stopped hurting, man. And ever since then, I apologize to myself, man, about thinking that about basketball. Because, yeah, like I said, it was my gift. And
yeah,
it felt like I needed to apologize about that.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, other than that, man, it's...
Wow.
Yeah, I think those were the two times where I felt like I just didn't want to play no more. I think a lot of people go through it.
Yeah.
But if you love the game, you'll get back to it.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, that's what's up. So, man, what you got any, you plan to do anything else with basketball? And I know you're still playing. You're going to keep playing.
Yeah, I'm going to play until I can't play no more.
You know what I mean? So, what about coaching or anything else? You got, you plan to do coaching again?
Definitely, man. I think life doesn't offer enough time, but we're gonna work with the time we give it. And I just say that because, you know, you gotta work, you got kids that's traveling in Asia, yeah, to play basketball,
yeah,
then you got your family outside of basketball, your life outside of basketball that you gotta feed, you know what,
yeah,
I mean? So I just gotta find the time, man, where I can do that, where, yeah, I can get back into coaching, because that's definitely what I wanna do.
Yeah.
It's actually taken over as my passion, just teaching kids, man. And I thought about getting into training and stuff like that. So that's definitely going to happen in the future, especially knowing by the time I'm defeated, I can't play till I'm 80.
Yeah, right.
So, but I can coach and teach kids and in other ways. So that's definitely in my future, man, to get back into that.
Okay, cool. Well, bro. Oh yeah, man. I appreciate you, man, coming on the show, man. It's great to get to know more in depth about, you know, your perspective, your story about your gift, and you know how it's developed and what you're doing with it. So, man, it's great, man. That's what's up, man.
Yeah, like I said, I appreciate you, man, and for having me on.
Yeah, yes,
man,
sir.
This is a cool setup you got here, man. Yeah. And also, ball is life, man, for those that don't know.
All right. All right, peace.
All right, peace.